In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, Saint Bernard of Clairvaux writes that the reward of a soul is estimated by the measure of her love of God. Quantitas anime estimatur, de mensura caritatis quam abet. To put it plainly, Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus says basically the same thing. The measure of our glory in heaven will correspond to the charity we exercised here on earth. Now, these are words that certainly we should ponder when we make our good examination of conscience before we retire for the evening, because it always concerns not only our next confession, but more importantly, how we want to exit this life and properly pass into eternity. Now we see this especially in today's introit, which is taken from Psalm 118, which proclaims God's justice. Thou art just, O Lord, and thy judgment is right. The divine justice is, as we know, infallible, and it exerts itself in an immediate manner on each and every one of us. No one can escape it. No one can get away from it. Because God examines our hearts, and nothing can be hid from him. The least of our sins will be punished, and the least of our good actions will be rewarded. And this includes our most secret thoughts, since they are also human acts which emanate from our will. It's certainly not useless to recall how important it is to examine our conscience in this regard. Perhaps I can do a lot of good simply by my thoughts. For example, when I think of someone in a positive way and I ask God's blessing for that particular person, asking God for his graces. On the other hand, I can harm my soul and even the mystical body of Christ by my bad thoughts, even though nobody is aware of them. I say this always. I've said it before and I will say it again and again, that no sin is private. All sins are social. There's no such thing as my own private sin, my own private thought, my own private deed, or even saying something out loud by myself. So I can ask myself the question, do I hate my neighbor, even though I keep this secret thought in my mind, and perhaps appear in front of him with a smiling face? If I've done so, then I've sinned against charity. Do I look upon his wife? Even though I remain pure in my actions, I've already committed the sin of adultery. And the impurity of my eyes and my heart have already stained my soul. The enemy knows how much weakness we have in this area. He tries to introduce impurity into our hearts and our minds in order to keep us slaves to our passions. Saint John Marie Vianney once said that it's the sin of impurity that leads most souls to hell. Today, Satan has very few things to do in order to tempt us. His job is pretty easy. The world is already doing a pretty good job for him. Television, the internet are almost open doors to the pits of hell. It takes only 1 second to turn them on and to look. It can take only 1 second to taint your heart. The consequences, as we know, can last forever. So the church, as a good mother, wants us to avoid such a terrible fate, a terrible destiny, and her desires are by no means in vain. She has received from her divine founder, our blessed Lord, the necessary and sufficient means of sanctification that we need. Among them, the sacraments of confession and the Holy Eucharist. These have a preeminent place. These two sacraments, as well as the five others, are effective by themselves and produce grace. We certainly won't bear many fruits of our reception of Holy Communion if we don't prepare our souls for such a great grace. We won't bear many fruits of our confession if we don't prepare that confession through a good examination of conscience. And if we don't leave the confessional with a real and firm purpose of amendment. And if we don't do these things, then what's the use of confessing? In other words, our spiritual life cannot be confined to the sacraments, but the sacraments should be the center and source of that spiritual life. Our morning prayer should be a preparation for our daily communion. And if we cannot receive our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament sacramentally, then it should include an explicit desire to receive Him in a spiritual communion. Our daily meditation should be an intimate meeting with God, which will be totally completed by the reception of the Holy Eucharist. Our daily rosary should be a continuation of the life of Jesus through Mary in our own lives. And as such, it should not be disconnected from that same Blessed Sacrament, that same reception of Holy Communion. Our evening prayer should be a continuation of our prayers of thanksgiving that we've already offered to our Blessed Savior right after Mass. There's a unity in the spiritual life. Our prayers, our devotions, our spiritual exercises, our participation in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, our works of charity and of mercy, our acts of mortification and penance have or should have Jesus as their principle and their end, their goal. As such, they're all in a real way connected to Holy Communion, which gives us our Blessed Lord Himself. So, my dear friends, and this is very important. If we limit our spiritual life to just a few minutes of prayer a day, if our communions are commanded more by a certain routine than by a true desire to unite ourselves with our Blessed Lord, if our confessions are just a time when we can tell our sins to the priest in order to get rid of them because we have a guilty conscience, then perhaps our spiritual life is still all too superficial. So it would be pretentious to think that we could resist temptations and come out unscathed, especially those against charity and purity. Satan and the world are formidable adversaries, tough and very determined. So our Holy Mother, the Church, knows this when she prays in today's collect, "Grant, O Lord, to thy people grace to avoid all contact." And the word in Latin is much better, contagia, contagia, which means contamination or defilement, with the devil and with pure minds to follow thee, the only God. We often have to struggle to follow our Lord with a pure mind and a pure heart, and it's difficult in a world so full of impurity, not only moral impurity, but intellectual impurity. There's absolutely No way. No way to win this battle without a strong preparation and training. This is the way led by our blessed Lord himself. He is the just one. And we're called to follow him in justice. Follow him and imitate him. It's certainly a difficult way. But as the psalmist says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. So, my friends, as we approach the month of October, as we celebrate also today the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, it would certainly be to our advantage to take our rosaries up and pray them, beseeching our Blessed Lady to help and protect us in this daily battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and to lead us ultimately to the way undefiled, the way taken by our sorrowful mother. And as we do this, we try to understand her heart more fully. The only way to comprehend the depth of the love in her heart is through prayer. In prayer, God can reveal her immaculate love to us and inspire us to imitate that love more fully, turning from all selfishness to more fully embrace selflessness in this life, so as to participate in the perfect love shared between our Immaculate Mother and her Divine Son, and grow in that love, that it can be perfected, will be perfected one day in the glory of heaven. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.